Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast.
What is going on, guys? You are tuning in to the newest edition of the Fistful of Cash Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dale Lippin, in here trying to break down this weekend's UFC event for you, UFC Fight Night London, Till versus Masvidal. Going to be a great card. Really excited for what's to come, and I think that this is going to be one of the ones. Like I said, I've been saying it all week, and I continue to say it. You know, the UFC has really stepped up their matchmaking since the ESPN merger or the ESPN deal, and you know, these days of cards where it's very clearly going to be a winner and a loser are coming, you know, rapidly to an end, and this card is no exception. There are a ton of evenly matched fighters, or matchups rather, in this fight or in this on this card, and it's just going to be, it's going to be great. It should be a good night. A little bit of MMA news throughout the week. Conor McGregor got arrested again. Stole loosely here. Some dude taking pictures after a guy was out at the club probably all night, had one too many proper 12s in him. Probably got a little close, a little handsy, probably was bumping into Conor, being, you know, not reading the room, if you will, and then McGregor acted out the way that he should. Now, here's the thing. I'm an angry dude. I've toned things down a lot in my life, but I can see where McGregor's coming from on this. You know, I can't imagine what it's like to be of that level of fame and then try to go out and like live your life and have a good time. I just can't imagine how difficult that must be. You would think that it would be, you know, for the most part, it probably is sunshine and rainbows and awesome being that rich, that famous, that powerful, that influential. I'm sure it probably is that way, but for, you know, in other instances, I can't imagine being that famous, being that influential, being that powerful, having that kind of money would be that fantastic. And, you know, having a guy that's constantly in your space, probably trying to ask to take pictures or, you know, whatever he's trying to do, maybe sales pitch or whatever the case may be. I could see how he would be frustrated to the point where he takes the guy's phone and smashes it on the ground. I could see that. You know, I get it. Was it the right thing to do? Probably not. But Do I understand where he's coming from? Yeah. Now, is this guy trying to make a whole lot bigger deal out of it than it really is? Yeah, for sure. You know, there used to be a time where if you were just being an asshole, you'd get slapped, you know. If you push somebody too far, you'd catch hands. And you just sort of deal with the repercussions of catching these hands. And that's really not the way the world works anymore. People expect you to give all of yourself and not say anything in return, or they expect a level of intimacy or availability or relatability that somehow holds you accountable to what their standard of your behavior is. And that's just not the way it should be. We see this a lot in this apology culture of athletes now, where they say something, you know, or they did something 10 years ago and now they have to go on this huge apology tour. It's just bullshit. I'm sorry. If you feel genuinely sorry about it, sure, that's great. If you don't, though, I am not in the business of apologizing for things I'm not sorry for. Now, I don't have the platform that those guys have. You know, I'm not a Kevin Durant. I'm not a Conor McGregor. I'm obviously not these things. But if you say something, you know, to the effect where somebody gets offended by it, that's really sort of their problem. That's not necessarily something that you have to go out of your way to apologize for. Be like, oh, I didn't mean to offend you. It doesn't matter whether you meant offense or not. You said what you thought, and that's the end of it. If that person doesn't like you or doesn't like what you said, that's on them. Being offended is like pissing your pants. Nobody feels that but you. You're the one doing that. So, you know, I hate to see these athletes constantly under the gun and having to apologize for stuff that's just not necessary. There's no need to apologize for that. That dude was probably being an asshole. I mean, you were an asshole to a guy and you got your phone smashed. Guess what? The next celebrity that dude sees, I guarantee you, he's not going to act the same way. That's called learning a lesson. We don't have to press charges every time somebody's taught a lesson. We don't have to make somebody apologize or forfeit pay or get fined or resign from a position every time they make somebody else teach a lesson. It's the way it is. Anyway, off my soapbox. Let's get on this card for the weekend. Super pumped up about it. Like I said, Fight Night London, Till versus Masvidal. Great, evenly matched card. Kicking things off on the main card, Jack Marshman versus John Phillips. Jack Marshman, always tough. The Welshman comes to bang every single time, taking on a very game opponent in John Phillips. You know, we haven't seen Marshman since the loss to Carl Roberson, where Carl Roberson looked absolutely fantastic. Phillips is coming off a loss to Kevin Holland, rather, and then he got submitted by Charles Byrd as well. So here's the thing with Phillips is, when he loses, he gets choked or, you know, he gets snatched. Something gets snatched. He's very susceptible to submissions. He does not have to worry about that at all with a guy like Jack Marshman. Jack Marshman is not interested in executing any sort of submission-based game plan whatsoever. This is going to be a dogfight. There's no way that this fight gets out of the, you know, there's no way that this fight ends without somebody bleeding. I like Jack Marshman in this fight. Currently seeing him coming in, excuse me, I got this weird, it's pollen season in the South. There is like a layer. It looks like somebody put neon green powdered sugar over everything. I cannot freaking breathe right now. So I'm sorry for being wheezy and coffee and everything else this episode. Anyway, Jack Marshman coming in at minus 165. I still think that there's a lot of value there, even though it's at 165. I would almost want to go that this fight's going to go the distance. Don't know what the over-under on rounds is going to be yet. Those don't ever come out prior to weigh-ins, which are Friday mornings. So we record this on Thursday night before weigh-ins. Initially, when the show started, we were doing Friday nights, recording and releasing Friday night so that way everybody could get to the book before the fight started on Saturday. Just a lot to do in one day, waiting to see how that shakes out. And then, you know, to be self-serving with it, I just wasn't getting the numbers that I wanted because I couldn't, it didn't allow you guys enough time to listen to it, share it, all those things. So we started doing this Thursday night thing. Because of that, we don't have the weigh in results, and we don't normally have the over under on rounds, but whenever this one comes out, I like this going to decision. I like Jack Marshman via decision. He's just a grinder, and I think he's going to go out there and he's just going to put on a great fight. I think he's just going to beat John Phillips up. Again, I don't see this fight making it the distance without somebody bleeding all over the place. If the canvas isn't painted by the time this fight starts, it will decorate the canvas moving forward. I definitely think that Jack Marshman has it in him to right this ship and eke out a win here. Next one we got is Danny Roberts versus Claudio Silva. Oh man, Claudio Silva lost his pro debut some years back and has since rattled off 12 in a row. The issue that you see with Claudio Silva is he doesn't fight that often. He is injury rattled. Danny Roberts, on the other hand, stays fairly active. He's looking to sort of continue this win streak that he's on right now, but he's going up a really, just a really dangerous opponent in Claudio Silva. What you have here, though, with Danny Roberts, man, this pollen thing is just beating me up. What you have here with this Claudio Silva matchup is, I think, probably too much too soon for him. I don't think that Claudio Silva's that susceptible to the striking that Danny Roberts is going to want to bring to this. Does he have knockout power? He absolutely does. He lost by knockout to Mike Perry, but then immediately righted that ship. Just immediately flipped it right back around and knocked out Bobby Nash. Then he lost by knockout to Nordine Tlaib, and then he won by knockout against Oliver Enkamp, and then just recently snuck out of a... where was that at? Where did Shogun fight Smith at? Anthony Smith. I can't remember. Anyway, he got out of there with a split decision win, so he's looking to extend this to 3. I think he's too much too soon, though, going up against Claudio Silva. Claudio Silva currently... is coming in at -155. I like him, and I like him by submission. I don't have the sub, again, we don't have the sub props out, but I think Claudio Silva by submission at -155 is still great value. Because they're making these matches so even now, we're not getting these minus, with the John Jones, Anthony Smith being the exception here, we're not seeing these -350s, these -400s, these minus... back in the old Ronda Rousey days, these -800, 900 cards, or fights rather, we're seeing a whole lot more, solid matchmaking. Claudio Silva at -155 is still a great opportunity to make money. I think he gets it done by submission. I think that's a good play whenever that comes out. That's an excellent prop play. Definitely want to, I don't want to say pound that one, but that's definitely going to be something to look after. So moving on again, we got another hometown kid, Nathan Wood, taking on Jose Quinones. This is going to be a fantastic fight. Wood is, I don't want to say this is a can't lose as far as excitability goes, because you never know with guys going out there. They end up just taking pictures, fainting at each other the whole time. But I really don't see that happening. I think Wood's going to come out and impose his will. He's got hometown crowd behind him. I really think that he's going to do big things. He's definitely a guy that's looking to move up the rankings, and he's probably realistically three quality wins away from a title shot. I feel like is probably where he's sitting at. I really think that the kid can get it done. I really like him in this, and he's the biggest favorite on the card at -305, taking on Quinones, and I think that's for good reason. I wouldn't look to do much with Wood outside of this other than throw him in a parlay. Trying to think of a good parlay just to throw together looking at this thing. I would say maybe if you take Dan Ige. Let me see what I can get this to pull up at. If you can take Dan Ige, where is he at? Let me pull him up on this book here. Nathaniel Wood, and let me get one more good one in here. We'll take Claudio Silva. Throw that together. Throw one unit on it. You're coming back at 2.6 return on your money. So Claudio Silva, Nathaniel Wood, and Dan Ige is probably a good parlay to throw together there. So I would avoid Nathaniel Wood by himself. unless you're going to throw them in a parlay like the one I just said, where we're getting Dan Ige, Nathaniel Wood, and Claudio Silva together, and that's 2.6 return on your money. That's not bad at all. That moves us on to what, on any normal card in the non-ESPN era, this fight would either be a co-main or a main event, and that's Volkan Ozdemir versus Dominic Reyes. Everybody's hot to trot on Dominic Reyes, and justifiably so. The guy looks like an absolute killer. He looks like Volkan Ozdemir looked before he ran into Daniel Cormier. The thing is with Volkan Ozdemir before the Daniel Cormier fight, he looked unstoppable. But in doing so, and we're seeing this currently with Johnny Walker in light heavyweight as well, is when you're beating opponents in 15 seconds, 25 seconds, a minute and a half, stuff like that, you're not logging the necessary experience hours or the experience minutes to help you whenever that inevitably fails. So what you had with Volkan Ozdemir when he fought Daniel Cormier was that real quick, that Mr. No Time, Volkan Ozdemir, when he went out there and couldn't snuff Daniel Cormier out right away, there was no plan B. There was no plan C. He looked lost. He looked miserable because he didn't have the minutes in there to deal with adversity, to work through his progressions. This isn't working. What comes next? And he didn't make the requisite adjustments, and he paid for it. He just got outclassed and got beat. And then, same thing. He fights Anthony Smith, and he does not have an answer for whenever he can't get you out of there quick. Lucky for him, Dominic Reyes is not that different in that, you know, he's not going past the second round, so you have a good opportunity to find somebody that's going to be a willing participant in this dance of violence that you're going to try to orchestrate inside the octagon. Now it's going to come out to who's better from a technical standpoint, and I think that goes to Dom Reyes. I think he's got better striking. I think he's got better footwork. I like the way he throws things down the center line. I like the way that he moves his head. Ozdemir throws these really rigid Vanderlei Silva style hooks, and I just think that a guy that's willing to stay in the pocket and absorb the punishment can eat that all day. He's just going to nom 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 on those hooks, and he's going to beat him up. I don't think that Ozdemir has, I don't think that Ozdemir has the chin necessary to deal with the punishment that a lot of these light heavyweights can bring towards him. If you look at him just from a physical standpoint, his body is not designed, I guess you'd say evolutionarily speaking, he's not designed to take that kind of punishment to his face. He's got a tiny chin. He's got a tiny jawline, and everything in the lower half of his face just sort of rests in his neck. So if you get that thing moving, you can only move that head so far to the left or the right, and that electrical circuit that runs from, through your body, man, that thing will turn off and it's a wrap. So, he's got a small button. He's just got a real small button. All you gotta do is press it. Shuts everything down. Did not look good against Anthony Smith. Took a lot of time off after that fight. And, maybe he made the adjustments. Maybe he didn't. Dominic Reyes, though, he's looking to stay active. He wants to make a title run. I think beating Volkan Ozdemir is a great way to do it. I think he beats him. And then if he beats Volkan in convincing fashion, I don't know. Do you give him John Jones next? I don't know who you give him. I really don't know. Johnny Walker hasn't earned the right to leapfrog everybody to come up and fight him. So if he beats Volkan, who I think is sitting at like number three or four, I would say you'd have him fight Gus if he won, but Gus just got booked to fight Anthony Smith. So, those two are those two fighting is a non-consequential fight because neither one of them are going to beat John Jones, right? So it doesn't matter if Gus wins that fight, and it doesn't matter if Anthony Smith wins that fight because neither one of them are getting a rematch against John Jones anytime soon. So if you're looking to push somebody for John Jones to fight, you got Thiago Santos and you've got Dominic Reyes. So if Dominic Reyes can go out there and he can just put on a performance against Volkan Ozdemir, after I think the inevitable Santos John Jones fight, I think Reyes would be smart to bide his time and wait and get that John Jones title shot. Don't necessarily know that a Volkan fight prepares him for that, but it's the right move. And if his management and his people were smart, that's what they'd be holding out for. Stats-wise, Dom Reyes coming in at minus 270. Ozdemir coming back plus 210. Good value on Ozdemir. He can absolutely win this fight. I just don't see it happening. I think Reyes gets it done. Definitely think he gets it done inside the distance. Be interested to see what the rounds are going to come in at. I would guess 1.5. And I'd have to see what the over is on the 1.5. I'd be tempted to take that over 1.5 just in case Ozdemir comes out and he's a little tentative at first. You never know, but you know, these guys are 205 when they weigh in. They're probably closer to 230 come, you know, 220 to 230 come fight night. I would like to think that maybe, you know, I mean, they're still like, it's still heavyweight hitters. I don't think, yeah, I'd have to see what the over under in 1.5 is going to be, but I think that the 1.5 is going to be where the rounds land. And I like Reyes at minus 270. I'd be more interested in playing the over under on rounds. If it's at 1.5, probably be playing the under on that. So that brings us co-main event of the evening, Leon Edwards versus Gunnar Nelson. I'd be lying to you if I told you this wasn't the fight that I've been going back and forth on the most. Hang on. So anybody knows anybody that works at Zevio? Let's try to get a sponsorship there. As much as I'm buying their products, goodness gracious, it's probably on stock in the company. Leon Edwards taking on Gunnar Nelson. Absolutely fantastic fight. This is the part where I'd be a little self-promoting. Guys, if you go to Front Proof Media, their website, frontproofmedia.com, I actually was able to write an article for them this week breaking down this fight and the main event, and they were kind enough to publish it, and I'm super proud of it and excited. Would love it if you guys would go there, frontproofmedia.com, go to the MMA article section, and you'll see it right there, and share it on your social media. That would make me just absolutely tickled pink. But again, all right, enough of the self-promotion. So we got Leon Edwards, 6 in a row. The win streak Leon Edwards is on. Gunnar Nelson rattled off 2 in a row after the loss to Santiago Ponzinibbio. You know, I feel like for a time Gunnar Nelson was tapped as being the next great thing in the welterweight division. I don't think he's there anymore. I think he's a gatekeeper. I think he's a gatekeeper with a fantastic record. I mean, he's only 17-3, but I just don't see where he gets over the hurdle and starts beating the guys that he needs to beat to get a title shot. And then even if he were to get it, I don't know who the hell. I mean, who would he beat? You know. I've said it time and time again that great wrestling negates great jiu-jitsu. And, you know, Gunnar's good. He's gifted. But, you know, he's going up a guy that's probably his equal in every area in Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards hits just as hard. He's very competent on the ground. He's got, you know, just an excellent fight knowledge the same way Gunnar Nelson does. And I, you know, everybody that I know seems to be picking Gunnar Nelson here. And I initially was tempted to pick Gunny by submission. And that initial gut instinct may be right. But the more I look at this fight, the more I just sit here and I think about it, I like Leon Edwards in this. I really, you know, he's coming off the strength of the Cowboy win. You know, he looks good. He's a good looking dude. He speaks well. He's great talent. He's well-rounded, well-versed. High fight IQ, high IQ outside of the cage. I really think that, you know, what I would love is to see Leon Edwards win, see Darren Till win, and have them fight each other for a number one contender fight. That would be fantastic. I don't want to say that it's not possible. It absolutely is possible. That would be like in my dream UFC matchmaker sort of, wish list. I would love to see something along those lines. So anyway, like I said, everybody I know seems to be picking Gunnar Nelson by submission. And I think that's a good play. I think that's a safe play. If you were to play Gunnar Nelson by submission, I don't think anybody would fault you for that if that didn't hit. But what I would caution people is to know that, you know, Gunnar Nelson has shown that he does not like being hit. And Leon Edwards is incredibly accurate. Gunnar Nelson has shown himself to have extreme cardio issues as a fight rolls on. Leon Edwards is poised, calm, and collected in the fire And he does not get riled up. I don't think I've ever seen the guy breathe heavy in a fight. He looks fantastic. His conditioning will be on point. He hits harder than Gunnar Nelson. Nelson is going to have to use that weird lengthy karate style stance to cover more octagon space, get inside, push Edwards up against the cage, drag him down, and hope to get a submission. It's basically his only shot of winning this fight. Edwards, on the other hand, just needs to make him pay every single time that he tries to do exactly that. If I was him, I would even avoid throwing leg kicks. I would literally just sit and wait and try to counter everything that Gunnar Nelson is doing. You know, keep one hand low, try to dig uppercuts on entry. Really just sort of, try to make Gunnar Nelson pay every single time he comes in. Would not be surprised if Gunny tries shooting from distance. Great opportunity to Edwards to land an entry knee and definitely do some work there. I like Leon Edwards in this fight. The odds have actually gotten closer as the day has gone on, and I imagine they'll be even closer after the after weigh-ins tomorrow. So right now, you've got Leon Edwards coming in at a minus 140, and then you've got Gunnar Nelson coming back at plus 110, which I think is fantastic. Great value on both these guys. I think that Leon Edwards is going to win this fight, and at minus 140, I like that play a lot. Don't necessarily think he's going to get it done inside the distance. Might want to play the over-under rounds on this. I think it's going to come in at 2.5. If it comes in at 2.5, be looking to play the over. I think that Leon Edwards wins. I just don't think that he's going to get it done inside the distance unless Gunny really gasses bad trying to go for takedown attempts and ends up getting caught. Does Leon Edwards have knockout power? Absolutely does. But do I think he's going to get it done? Probably not. He's definitely going to win the fight. I definitely think he's going to win the fight, rather, but I just don't see him getting it done inside the distance. So that brings us to the main event of the evening, Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal. Can't believe it. Finally here, Jorge Masvidal's back, taking on the gorilla, Darren Till. Now, I watched Darren Till fight years ago and thought, man, that guy's a real talent. Could definitely see him being a star one day, fighting for a belt. I just think it happened too early with the Tyron Woodley fight. I just think it was way too early. He was not ready. The hype train got behind him after, the Cowboy win and then the Wonder Boy fight, which I think that he lost. In my opinion, he lost. But all the same, that's more of a fault of Stephen Thompson not doing enough to win a fight than it was Darren Till doing enough to not lose it. So I really think that, Darren Till has got to make a statement here. Problem is, he's going up against a super tough guy in Jorge Masvidal. Now, Masvidal used to fight at 155. Crazy to think that he used to make that weight. Fights at 170 now. He's taken a ton of time off. Competed in some sort of weird Big Brother / Road Rules real world challenge, like Latin America thing. Took a ton of time off, but it was mostly just because he couldn't find anybody that he deemed to be a worthy opponent. Not to say that Masvidal's not worth a big payday or even a main event spot, because he is a very exciting fighter, but beating Cowboy one time is not necessarily like your ticket to main event or co-main event status everywhere you go. And as such, I think he's gotten a whole lot on his plate here with Darren Till. Now, how can Jorge Masvidal win this fight? Well, there's a couple different ways that he can win it. One, I think that he's going to have to utilize leg kicks, and he's going to have to utilize them early. He's got to get Darren Till unwilling to stand so close to him, because Darren Till likes to stand really, really close, just outside of range, and look for counters. He's got to move and beat up that leg and make it so Darren Till doesn't want to stand that close to him. Now, if he's beating up that leg, in particular if he's beating it up with inside leg kicks with the way Till's standing, it's going to open up body shots. So what I would love to see is that when Masvidal does throw combos, he finishes the combos with a body strike. Those things are going to pay dividends later on in the fight. The more that Masvidal can invest in body early while staying safe, it's going to pay dividends, because Darren Till is not going to have the gas tank to go 5 full rounds. He's just not going to do it. So any investment in the body early is going to pay dividends later on. That's really going to be where it turns it on. I think that Masvidal's best hope for winning this fight is to have, I think it's going to be to utilize body strikes early, try to steal either round 1, 2, or 3, and then pour it on in rounds 4 and 5. Really try to pour it on in rounds 4 and 5. If he can pour it on in rounds 4 and 5, use punches and bunches. You know, he really needs to switch up his speed, needs to switch his angles. He needs to get his head moving and, you know, keep till guessing. If he can do all that, which is a lot with a guy like Darren Till standing across from you, if he can do all that, I think that he can win this fight. The problem is that Darren Till is gigantic. I think the move to middleweight is just a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen here at some point. If Darren Till can make the weight, I think he wins the fight. He's got to win. He's got to win the fight against the scale first. Been looking at him all week. Been watching interviews with him and everything. He's looking real sunk in already. I don't know how much more he can possibly cut out. You know, I can't imagine the torture that dude's going through right now as he's cutting weight. It's got to be bad because he's absolutely massive for a 170. And I think that it's going to be one of those things where he's really just going to have to, if he can win the battle against the scale, rehydrate and not be too zapped, I think he can win this fight, which again is going to play into Masvidal's favor. Now, how does Till win this fight? Till wins this fight by just doing what got him here in the first place. He's got great Muay Thai, absolutely fantastic. Masvidal is not going to be looking to take him to the ground. I would be shocked if there's a takedown attempt. Masvidal might try to do it to be funny. I doubt there's a takedown attempt. So what Till needs to do is he needs to stick to what got him here. He needs to remember his roots. He needs to remember, you know, his ride or die, and just stay with the stand-up. If he can do that, if he can keep Masvidal at the range he wants him, I think that he can do excellent things here. Now, I made a post on social media today. Masvidal has not been knocked out since 2008. I don't necessarily think that Till's going to get him out of there. I would be plain shocked if he did. But I think that, you know, Till absolutely wins this fight as long as he's able to fight his fight. And his fight is standing, you know, 18 inches away from you. Not quite, you know... Yeah, it is. It's almost exactly like how the Diaz brothers fight. He needs to be just outside of range of you and inside of range for him. He's got those long arms. He's got those long legs. He just needs to beat Masvidal up. If he can make him worry about the power without gassing himself out, if he can keep pressure on him, if he can keep walking him down and control and not allow Masvidal to get in the center of the octagon and unleash combos, I think he wins this fight. I think he wins it going away. With this fight being in London and Till being from Liverpool, if it goes the decision and it's close, I see Till getting the nod. Jorge Masvidal does not have good luck, if you will, when it comes to split decisions. He does a very good job of doing just enough to lose a fight. I think that the over-under on rounds on this coming in at 3.5, I think the over is the better play here. Till coming in at minus 240, unless that line moves way down after weigh-ins tomorrow, I really think that that's the play. If Till misses weight tomorrow, don't bet on this fight at all. And I say that because if Till misses weight, he's more likely to win the fight. He's more likely to win the fight by knockout because he, you know, with not being able to make that weight, he'll rehydrate up to a bigger, better, faster speed and version of himself than he would had he cut all the way down to the weight. Not to mention the fact that from a psychological standpoint, there's just no way. I think that if Till misses weight, you avoid the fight because it's going to throw the rounds off, you know, because he might actually be able to finish him if he's feeling really good about himself or his body's feeling a lot better since it didn't have to cut the weight. So the three and a half rounds might be out the window. You know, Till as a whole has a great chance of winning, so you're not going to make any money yet on the minus 260. I would just avoid this fight if Till misses weight. Till makes weight, looking to play the over 3.5 rounds. That's coming in at plus 115. So I'd say play the over on the rounds, plus 115. Seems to be about the only way you're going to make money on this fight is by doing it like that. So that's really about it, guys. There's not a whole lot left. I mean, there's nothing left on the main card. There's a couple fights that interest me on the prelims, but we'll cover those on Instagram like we always do. Real quick, I want to, you know, sort of give a shout out to the people that have been supporting the show. Didn't want to do the ads at the very beginning, so I'm just going to throw a couple in here, right here at the very end. SavingGraceOil.com. Use promo code CASH20 and get 20% off your entire order. CBD products that are absolutely fantastic. Got a bottle right here beside me on the desk. You know, keep that bad boy on the ready. Absolutely love their stuff. And we actually have a new sports book that's sponsoring us right now. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'll give you the promo code. The problem is with this is the ink is still wet on the paper with these guys. So to get in here and be like, oh, it's going to be this, that, and the other, I have all that information. But I need to, you know, I haven't even had the chance to put together what I would call an ad read for them yet. But the new sponsor is going to be skybook.ag. Skybook.ag. For those of you in the UK, all the people that listen in England, that's going to be BetPhoenix. BetPhoenix.ag. And then your promo code is going to be Fistful of Cash. So just Fistful of Cash at skybook.ag or BetPhoenix.ag. If you use that, it will take you to a list of promotions. Bonus promotions that you guys can use. So it's not like just one thing where it's like, oh, you know, when we had the other one, it was where it would be 100% match on your initial deposit. There's a ton of different bonuses, and you go there and you can pick what you want your bonus to be. So there's a 100% cash bonus or a 50% free play, 100% free play, a credit card deposit bonus. There's a bunch of different ones, but it's skybook.ag or betphoenix.ag if you're in the UK. So go ahead and check either one of those out. Use the promo code Fistful of Cash, just like how the podcast is spelled, Fistful of Cash, and it takes you to an actual promotion page where you can pick your promotion. I've got to read through all of them so that way, you know, I can spout them out for you guys like I'm prone to do. I just don't have it right now. I got to learn them all still, but I do want to let you guys know that we are partnering up with them, and you can go there and there's a bunch of different stuff. There's stuff on there for 200% matches and 150% matches, and you know, there's just all kinds of stuff on there for you to choose from, but you get to choose what your promotion is going to be. So there's that. All right, give a shout out to all of our listeners and the big ones for this last episode. Top countries: the US, Canada, Australia, the UK, Germany, Spain, Costa Rica, and always Ireland, throwing it down. And then we'll go top cities: Honolulu, New York, Pittsburgh, LA, Washington, D.C., St. Paul, Minnesota, London, and Phoenix. I appreciate you guys very much. There's a bunch of other people in here. We'll go down to, let me see, somebody way down here. See if I can find one. Give me like a low-key city that only had one download. Let me look. Shout out these people. Shout out to the listeners from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. If you are our fan from Rhinelander, Wisconsin, I appreciate you. And let's see, there's got to be another one in here. Crystal Lake, Illinois. Camp Crystal Lake, Jason Voorhees. I appreciate you, man. And then one more. Let's see here. Let's get a Canadian one. Oh, man. I know I'm going to butcher this. Etobicoke. Etobicoke. Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada. Appreciate you guys coming to us from Etobicoke and Camp Crystal Lake. Appreciate you guys. And Rhinelander, Wisconsin. All those people outside of the top cities as well. Appreciate you guys. All right, going to wrap this thing up. Keep it short and sweet because I know that's how everybody likes it. I will talk to all of you later. Thanks, everybody, that joined on the live stream. And if you, again, a little bit self-promoting, go to frontproofmedia.com. Go to their MMA section and check out the article that I was blessed enough to do for them this week. And share it on your social media. I'd appreciate it a lot. It goes a long way for them, and it goes an even longer way for me as we continue to grind and hustle and pay it forward. Had a good opportunity this week to pay it forward with some of the money that we've gotten through Patreon and through the sponsorship deals, and then, you know, people giving money to the podcast. I don't like talking about stuff like this because it sounds very self-promoting, but we were able to take some of that money and do some good this weekend. You can hit me up on DM on Instagram or shoot me an email, and we can talk about it on there. But absolutely was able to do some good stuff this week and was really thankful for that because it was brought about by you guys, and I appreciate that very much. So, again, always trying to pay it forward, always trying to do more for others than we do for ourselves. And I appreciate you guys, and I thank you for joining in. And again, this is going to be our 51st episode, and I can't believe the first 50 went so fast. I'm excited to see what the next 50 bring. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later. Appreciate you. Take care.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.